It's easy to dismiss concepts or ideas that seem uncomfortable, confusing, or unreal. The Nebulous is a new podcast that explores perceptions about complex themes relating to the human experience and the ambiguities of the human mind. I'm Lexi Smith, and I invite you to challenge your beliefs, open your mind, and learn from a diverse group of people. Subscribe to The Nebulous today. Recall the episode with the psychic Kathy Kearns. People go to her to find their right path, make changes in their life, or maybe simply due to curiosity. So let's look into a different world, a different idea. This time, let's talk about free will and fate.
Fate is like the idea of predestination, or that you are becoming someone that you were before.
Fate is just what happens. I think your life's predetermined.
I think you're in charge of the choices that you make. Fate is just something that's meant to be, meant to happen.
Oh, you definitely make your own choices.
So there is a variety out there. Some opinions are more adamant and believed in than others. But what does this mean to the person? How does it frame the way that they look at the world? Could it have an actual impact or influence on how that person lives their life? We're going to spend this episode unpacking exactly what our reality would look like in each scenario.
People sometimes are said to have a fatalistic outlook. If they believe, for example, that certain things will happen in their lives, no matter what, no matter how they choose now, no matter whether they go left or right, there is, let's say, a person they're destined or fated to end up with.
I'm speaking with Dr. Andrew Cortins. He has a PhD in philosophy and is an associate professor and department chair at Boise State University. So if fate isn't something you choose to believe in or entertain, you might resonate more with this next idea.
It is sometimes genuinely up to us what we do. Not an entirely uncontroversial way of understanding the term, but it's, I think, the clearest. According to the free will thesis, each of us is sometimes in the following situation. We have a course of action that's available to us that we can undertake, or we can refrain from undertaking that. So we're able to do a certain thing, and we're also able to refrain from doing that thing. So for example, perhaps right now I have available to me the option of getting up and walking away from this interview, but I also have the option of remaining where I am.
So this stance believes we have a choice. We choose our actions, we determine our future, and life is constantly changing. And say this belief is true. Why would it matter to us? Why do we care if free will exists or not?
It seems to matter to us whether it's true, because if whenever I act, I'm acting in the only way that I'm capable of acting, that would sort of suggest that I am not fully in control. It would suggest that it's not really up to me how I act. That I have no other options, really.
So the other way to look at this would be predeterminism. This stance would claim that some part of our human life is chosen for us, and nothing we do can change the inevitable outcome awaiting us. Frightening or comforting?
Maybe that's an illusion. Maybe it's an illusion that we have these options. And if it is an illusion, that would kind of be a shame. It's not something we would like, I think. I suppose there some people find it comforting to hold that they have no free will in this sense. I suppose there might be some people who say, well, this means there's really no point in regretting any actions you performed that maybe didn't turn out so well because you couldn't have done otherwise. But I think most of us would be rather distressed if we discovered that we didn't have free will and that we were never able to act in any other way than the way we actually act. Apparently mean that there's no moral responsibility.
Imagine if this was really an excuse we could use. That we had no control over what our lives were becoming, and that we couldn't control whether we made poor choices or not.
If, after all, the person who stole the cookies from the cookie jar wasn't really able to refrain from stealing those cookies, how can it be proper to blame him for stealing the cookies? How can it be proper to hold him morally responsible or accountable for his theft if he had no option but to steal?
There's pretty much an argument for any way you choose to look at this. I understand it in levels. One level would be a determinist, one might be a fatalist, and others might believe bits and pieces of both.
To me, this seemed like a controversy I never even realized existed. I never had thought about this whole idea before, but then it turned out I had strong opinions and arguments about it.
If it's not up to you whether A is true and B is a consequence of A, then it surely it's not up to me whether B is true either.
So if there's an objective fact, then there also may be an objective consequence. There might be something out there causing you to act or behave the way that you have been, and there's nothing you can do about it even if you realize it now. If A is true, B is true.
And that's to my mind, a very powerful argument for the conclusion that if determinism is true, that would mean there's no free will.
There's a book called What If by John Locke. It lays out various different scenarios and forces you to think critically and definitely philosophically about what's happening in each of these stories. Courtin's lent me this book and thankfully breaks it down for me in this interview.
Locke's example of a man, I'll just simplify it, there's a man who is brought into a room when he's asleep, let's say. He wakes up, he quite likes it there. He doesn't want to leave, and he doesn't leave. According to this account, the person freely stayed in the room. However, let's add this to the story. The door is in fact locked from the outside. The person then is unable to leave in a very straightforward sense, unable to leave that room. So it seems incorrect to describe his remaining in the room as something freely done.
What are we supposed to take away from this unlikely scenario? Why does it matter if this man can leave or if he can't leave?
This example of the man in the locked room could be used as a strike against this particular account of free will. To act in accordance with your wants may be necessary for your action to be free, but it's not sufficient, right? Because here's a case where a man acts in accordance with his wants, but he doesn't remain in the room freely.
The intriguing stories in this book don't end there. So let's rack your brain a little bit further.
Suppose, for example, that evil Martian scientists are controlling all my wants and decisions. All my desires, wishes, decisions are actually being directly manipulated by evil Martian scientists. So you offer me a chocolate, and I see the chocolate, and I want it. Why? Because the Martians caused me to want it, right? By manipulating my brain. And I decide to take it. Why did I decide? Because they made me decide. Now, here's a case where if I hadn't decided, wanted to take the chocolate, I would not have done so. That is, if the Martians had made me decide not to take it. But it seems wrong to say I was able to do otherwise. So this shows that fulfilling or satisfying this conditional doesn't seem to be sufficient for having the ability to do otherwise. Now, in order for you to be able to do something, it's not sufficient that you would do it if you decided to. It's also got to be true that you're capable of deciding to.
I'm having a conversation about fate and free will with Andrew Courtins, a philosophy professor from Boise State University. So theoretically, are your wants even your wants? How do we know if there's not some external factor causing us to desire the things that we do? I'm fairly confident that there's no Martians controlling our minds, but maybe you get the idea. What capability and control do we really have over our lives?
I'd have to imagine something being different a moment ago that would have had an effect on my desires and motivational structures that's different from the way they actually are. But if you keep fixed my actual desires, right, to be a cooperative person who keeps their promises in this situation, if you keep that fixed, then it's not so clear that I really do have the ability to act in total variance, right? Let's see that bike over there. Can I steal that bike? Well, maybe not. I have no reason to want to steal a bike. I can imagine a world rather like this one in which I did have a reason, but that would be a world where the past was a little bit different. And remember, the past state of the universe, including the past state of my own brain or mind or what have you, is not something I now have any control over. It seems like the only cases in which you could truly say that someone acts freely or has a genuine choice about how they act are cases where there is some motivation or pull towards each of the possible courses of action. And perhaps that's quite rare.
Courtin's has a very open mind about determinism, free will, and fatalism. He can look at life through different viewpoints and understand different ideas. It inspired me to look at situations in a variety of different ways and imagine how the outcome could change. I wanted to dig into both opinions and sides here. I wanted the debate and the theories favoring either stance. But what is it that you believe? Would trying to live a life completely different even be possible? Thank you for listening to The Nebulous by Boise State Public Radio. I'm Lexi Smith. Music by Topher Moore and Alex Alina, White Sand, Bascar, Unique, Stefan Dom, and Keys of Moon.
Say you're driving somewhere. Maybe it's the same commute you make every day, and you get stuck at a red light. You're waiting, looking around, and then your eyes rest on some business that you're noticing for the very first time. You think, wait a minute, how long have they been open? Who shops there? What do they sell? Our podcast, You Know the Place, goes to those drive-by places and explores the answers. Learn more about the podcast and listen when you Google You Know the Place.
And Roms reach out to me from across.